Teaching, and we're going to call our teaching this evening Bearing with One Another in the Love of Christ. Bearing with one another in the love of Christ. Jesus said these familiar words that are deep and profound, and they are an indication of our love for Jesus and our love for his body. Because he said in Matthew 25, "Naked you clothed me, I was sick, you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me." That is our Lord saying that as a sign of our love, our commitment, not only above all to him, but to his body and each other. And what we do in the body, we do unto Jesus. Everything we say we do in our function is unto him. If we criticize or we come against our brother and sister, we come against him. And he will show us what glorifies him and what doesn't. Because I am convinced that unless this is functioning in the body of Christ, very little can be built. Very little can be added. Very little can be raised in ministry, fivefold ministry, the gifts, the intercessors, all of those things which are so important to make the body of Christ effective in these last days, to make her moving forward, preparing herself, overcoming, being that light in the world, and so forth. And we are very, very aware of how the enemy is trying to attack in this area, and one of which is to take our eyes off the body of Christ, what we have been baptized into, set into. We still at times have this denominational thinking and understanding of the church, and not really understanding and experiencing that it is a living organism that is alive and functioning, whether it be an arm, a hand, a leg, or whatever. You see, why I believe the early Christians at the time of Pentecost was able to turn the world upside down in that sense was because they knew their function. They knew what they had been set into. They were empowered for this. And that again is why we refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment in which you are set into Christ's body to function. And this is very important for us to understand. So we're calling our teaching tonight, Bearing with One Another in the Love of Christ. We're going to base this from Romans 15 and verses 1 to 7. Romans 15 and verses 1 to 7. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so it goes on. Quite a lot there the Apostle Paul has said, in which we are to conduct ourselves, what our fellowship is about, allowing the Holy Spirit to change, to work with us. You see, our attitude, our heart, our motive is very important when we come together in the presence of Almighty God. Your attitude towards your brother and sister can affect the move of the Spirit of God. I think at times we still forget that the Holy Spirit is seen like a dove, a very gentle, timid bird, and he can be very easily offended. And if we love the body of Christ, if we love the Lord, and we love our brethren, then we are going to come together with great sensitivity, with great preparation. That I mean that we have prayed for the meeting, not only on Sunday or when we are visibly together, but also even for our meetings Tuesday night online. How we approach, how we come together is absolutely vital. And yet at times we can come together only to start to worry or talk about our trials, our problems that we've gone through the week or whatever it is. All of that can be shared at the end of a meeting. Instead of coming, preparing our hearts to receive the presence of Almighty God, to be of use, and to prepare our hearts for the seed of the Word of God. I think at times we still take it too flippantly, too lightly. It's just another meeting, and we're doing our bit. No. It's meeting with Almighty God. And brothers and sisters, we've got to get that from our heads to our hearts, because that is when we begin to see things change. When the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested amongst his people, he comes as Saviour. He comes as Deliverer. He comes as Healer. Because he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think we have lost this expectation when we come to our meetings. And the reason that we lose our expectations is because we're still self-centered. What am I going to get out of it today? Is it going to edify me? Will I get my healing today or my deliverance today? Will it lift me up because I've had a bad week and so forth? We still come with that attitude in our fellowship together. And that is not what the Apostle Paul is speaking here to the Christians, to the book of Romans. That is not what he's referring to here. Let's look at this to remind ourselves what he's saying. He says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." In other words, this is about long-suffering, about patience. This is dealing with the actions. It's dealing with those that may be weak or are going through much trial. The idea of scruples here means consideration. But it also can be the means of a consideration in a moral and ethical sense. Which means, in other words, that we restrain ourselves. We put a guard on ourselves. In other words, we guard our eyes or our tongue. We practice restraint for the sake of the unity of the body of Christ. Because there may be some who are weak in the faith, or some who do not have the light that you have. Are we ready for God to bring more from the highways and the byways in? With all their rough edges, their little understanding of God, the knowledge of God, and so forth? Or is our eyes, our attitude, going to cause us to sin, to reject them? You see, if we are in that complete unity and oneness with Christ and each other, then we will embrace and we will receive whoever the Holy Spirit brings in. And there is sadly a lot of undesirables out in that world. And only you can answer that question. I can't answer that for you. But we raise that question in the light of what we're talking about this evening. Are we ready for that? Is the love of God perfected in our hearts for him and each other to embrace the weaker ones? What does Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 say? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there is one body, one Spirit, and as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, above all, through all, and in all. There we are. The Apostle Paul again says it to the church at Ephesus. And sadly, of course, we know that they left their first love. But that is what it's saying here. How we walk, how we treat one another, our attitude toward one another. What does it say in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing to himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And so it goes on. Again, this emphasis given to the Galatians. The Apostle Paul reminded these churches of their fellowship, the reason why they're there, God had put them there. He continued to remind them that if there is not unity and love and fellowship, then nothing can be built. In other words, nothing that can be built that will last. And the enemy knows where to attack in the body of Christ, keeping saints divided through their prejudice, their judging, their sinning with the tongue, and so forth. And we too in FGA have had our fair share of this over the years. But God will not have it, because nothing can be built if that is the foundation that's being produced. It is completely opposite to Christ. Now, we need to have that love, that agape love for Christ's body. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind and being, that is transferred to the body of Christ and where he has placed you. You love that body. You love the assembly. You love the gathering of the saints together unto him. And you do what love requires in order for that unity and fellowship and oneness. And it's no good looking to anyone else. Here am I. Start with me, Lord. Do it through me. You may be just the one that is needed to be that example, to show maybe patience or long suffering, or to show mercy or kindness. Or whatever it would be. You may just be that person that will encourage the body, that they will see that in operation. I see these things in operation with you. And you know what it does? It makes me say, Father, what I see in my sister, please put that within me. That is godly. That is good. That edifies, that builds the body of Christ. I want that. Do that in me. How many of us learn from each other when we see these virtues? That is why James says you have not because you ask not. And if we are still self-motivated, looking inwardly, we will never learn these things in which to ask. If you're inward looking, you can't see kindness or charity or mercy being given out But those who love Christ, those who love his body, become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you will see that in your brother or sister. You will see that brother going that extra mile for that person or whatever it is, and something within you will cry out because you have been challenged. You've been quickened, and you know that to be right. Something within you cries out, for the reason being is because you love Jesus. And if you love him, you love his body. And the Apostle Paul was often exhorting, encouraging the saints in this, because he knew that was the key to build upon. Because otherwise, you've nothing to build on. You've nothing to build on if there's not that unity, that love and oneness, and it first has to come with a relationship with the Lord. And if you love him, then you love his body. And if you see that he's naked, then you will clothe him. You won't look to somebody else to do that job. If you see that he's in prison, you will visit him and not look to somebody else. Oh, well, they can do it better than I can. No, 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 no. Something within you causes you to cry out. That is what's so wonderful. That is why we can learn so much from each other. But if we're proud and arrogant, then you can't do that. Because you'll always be critical, suspicious. Now, we don't go around telling everyone what we're doing all the time. But very often it's seen in actions, in works. And in time God shows, and you will see it. And he shows us because he's wanting to take us higher with him. He's wanting to use us. And secondly, we look at this chapter 15, and it says, let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. And this is the motive, isn't it, for why we do it this way. Because it's to lead to edification, to edify, to build, to encourage, to be a witness, a testimony. That's why we do it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So there we are. Don't seek your own, but seek the other for their well-being. In other words, you are more interested in them than you are talking about yourself or your thing or what you've done. You take an interest in your brother or sister. That is important. And yet so much in the world and in society, they all want to tell you about what they're doing and their successes, and so it goes on, and they're not really interested in you. That is not for edification. What does it say in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So that's primarily the motive, the interest of others, which means that we give time for each other, And it's not digging to try and find what's going on. That's not what is referred to here. It's the interest of others. You are interested in them. How they're getting on. What is going on in their lives and so forth. And often when people feel comfortable and at ease and they know that love is there, then the conversation will just simply flow. And it will be edifying, encouraging. And many times you can find in that dialogue that you're able to pray and intercede for things that can come out as you listen. In other words, what doesn't edify is when they share something with you and the next thing you say, well, I'll go away and pray for you, brother. That is also almost patronising. That's not what we're talking about. And that sort of thing has gone on. No. That's not what we're saying here. It's simply being interested and it will come out. And if there is something to be prayed upon, then the Lord will show you. All of which is building towards the unity and oneness of the body. And you see, when it says that let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification, it means that God will edify the body, bring that person closer to God. Did you know that you have the power, the capacity within you, set by the Holy Spirit, to help your brother, your sister, come closer to God? But you can also do the opposite. You can cause them to move away from God. And that is why our fellowship, our unity is so important. Because God has given us that power. We can minister life or death in the body of Christ by our attitudes, by our sinning with the tongue, or to edification, encouraging them in the love of Christ. We, each of us, have been given that power. And so we do need to be on our guard, and that is why it's so important to be interceding, praying for the body, praying for FGA. Praying for the meetings. There is no sound in the room, am I hearing? Oh, I see, sorry. Right. So this is vital. Right, let's move on with this to verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Well, here is the model, the ultimate model that we present Christ in helping the weak. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached on you fell on me. In other words, we're available, we're there to help those who are going through trial, to help the weak in whatever way, capacity we can be used. Very often in a practical way. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, 5 and 8. Even when we were dead, I'm looking at the wrong one. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. In other words, this kenosis experience, this self-emptying of which only the cross that you two take up each daily can actually work that. You can't achieve that fully in yourself. It has to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the cross that you take up also that can work that in our lives like Jesus did himself. Thank God that he did that. He would never have gone to the cross otherwise. But he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it means that attitude, that mind, what the Holy Spirit's worked in delivering your mind from yourself, so that then your eyes are focused upon the Lord and upon his body, and not on other things, which so often they are. And it says he was in the form of God, considered not it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a king, an ambassador, a millionaire, no, a bond servant, coming in the likeness of men. God Almighty, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, no beginning, no end, and here divests himself. And what role does he take? A bondservant. And he says, let this mind be in you. Unless that is working, brothers and sisters, FGA will not be built for the last days. She will not be that bride prepared for the coming of the Lord. That has to be in our mind and heart and attitude, each one of us. If God is to do this next work with us, this is the ultimate model that we represent Christ in everything we say and do. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. You have got to experience the life flow of the risen Lord flowing through your life, through your mouth, through your actions, through your attitude, through your heart, everything. We represent the living Christ to a dying world. And only the power of the Holy Spirit can do that. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. There we are. And that is the way we walk. That is why it's by faith. Whatever things were written before, they were written for one thing, that we might learn. And we learn through patience. We learn through comfort of the scriptures. And that is what the Word of God should be. It should be teaching us patience, and in that patience, that comfort. And there's the idea of the rest that we should have by faith, and not this striving. It's that patience, that endurance. You see, so much is built through these virtues of patience. Because when we're patient and we're patient with each other, then God can start to fulfill his plan, his establishment of the kingdom of God. When we're patient and patient with each other, then God can build. And he can reveal in that right time and way when we're ready to receive it. For example, in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That is what God builds his church upon. That is what the foundation is made up on Christ, that he can build for the last days. This is where our unity, our fellowship is, so that it's for the saving of the souls. The ultimate mission of the church is that some might be saved. And never lose sight of that. That's very important for us to embrace, to remember. What does it say in Matthew 16, verse 24? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And there we are, because the cross deals with everything which will hinder the saving grace of God to save souls. And I've had to repent at times, because I've hindered the power of God to save souls because self was more important. That is not what the body of Christ is about. Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There we are. He says, in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He's learnt it in his old age. And he found himself put upon the Isle of Patmos as a fugitive, a prisoner, and received one of the greatest revelations for the church in the last days. So, going back to Romans 15, and it says in verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, And brothers and sisters, I don't believe we can actually be like-minded unless it's also your experience. We can know this theologically, but unless it's experiential, we cannot really be like-minded. And that's what God works, and that's why you go through the trials and the tests that you do, in order that we can have unity and oneness and like-mindedness. In other words, when a saint is suffering, you too know what that is about. You may not have gone through it exactly the same, but you are aware of trials. You are aware when you just feel you've come to the end of yourself, or you feel you have no faith. These experiences that trials can reveal and expose, you understand what that saint is going through. You have a unity, a oneness. You have a like-mindedness because he or she is going through it, and I've gone through the same or similar. But I know as Christ brought me through, he will bring you through as well. And that gives you an anointing, a faith to be able to pray for your brother or sister who is struggling, as you once struggled, and how God brought you through. And the same God that brought you through will bring my brother, my sister through as well. That is what God does. This is what unity and oneness is about in the body of Christ. And so he says now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. So he calls himself patience, which he is. He is comfort. How often has God comforted you? Well, if he has, then you do likewise to others. We can be of comfort, encouragement to each other. We are to be like-minded. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 13:11? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. See, he's constantly reminding the churches of this. That's what apostolic ministry does. Because an apostle is so one with Christ and he's so one with his body. It doesn't separate. He doesn't see the difference between his walk with Christ and the body. They're all one. And that's what he's bringing us to. Oh, it's one thing to say, I love Jesus, but do you love his body? That's the question. And we don't always. Sometimes, sadly, we abuse it. But he's not having that of us. He's delivering us of that. If we stay with it, we have patience, long-suffering, and so on. He will do this work. Hallelujah. So the God of patience, comfort, grants you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that shows me there that worship and praise will just take off. It'll just take off because we're one in unity. It's not a burden, but a joy. Hallelujah. As the completion of the body is based on unity. And that is how the bride makes herself ready. There's no other way. And as I come to a close, you know this very, very well, a very challenging verse for the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, my goodness, listen to what the apostle is saying. I plead with you. He's pleading. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Oh, wow. If the body of Christ was this, we would be turning the world upside down. Instead of all the divisions that there are. Some want to believe this, some want to believe that, some want to follow this ministry, that ministry, and so forth. We play the devil's game. That's why the apostle is pleading here with these Christians. Why is he doing this? Because these Christians at Corinth were still young. They weren't growing in the faith. They were children. And he's pleading with them. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, speak the same thing. That there's no divisions among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why, if the apostle spoke that today in the 21st century, most would laugh at him and just say, impossible, can't be done. Well, what is impossible with God is impossible with man is possible with God. That is our challenge. That is our faith. That is what we set our fellowship upon. That is what we pray for. The same as he pleaded, any ministry today who loves the body of Christ, who loves Jesus, will plead with his people as well. There's no room for individualism. I will do it my way. I will worship God how I want to. I will walk how I want to walk. I will do and say what I want to say. No, 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 no. Not if the cross is in our lives. We've yielded to that. We allow the Spirit of God to crucify, put to death those things that are unedifying. Those things that try to destroy unity and fellowship. We allow the cross to put that to death. Why? Because we love Jesus. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That is what he wants. Those are the needs. Very practical. Nothing profound. But where you see he's naked, you clothe him. Where you see he's sick, visit him. And where you see any who are in prison, hell tormented, go to them. That is our love for the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, you have said it all. We know that no man can build this. No minister can build this. It can only be achieved and done by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he loves the body of Christ. He is one with the body of Christ. There is no separation in the Godhead. And Father, we just make ourselves available that you will continue to build FGA in and through each of us. Oh Lord, give us that love, the love of Christ for the body. Because if we love you, we love the body and we love each other. None of it can be separated. Lord, give us that desire. Give us the unction, the anointing, that this can be achieved. We know in ourselves it can't be done. We'll just run away, or we'll just compromise, as maybe we have done. But Lord, as we cry out, as we ask, so that it then will be achieved, it will be done. Father, we're so privileged. We are such a blessed people, Father. We are so aware how you love us, how you're giving us the best, Father, in these end times. How could we ever doubt you? Lord, cause each of us to wax stronger and bolder in the faith. And Lord, if there are more baptisms to be experienced, then Father, pour it upon us by your Spirit. If fire is needed, then bring it down more. Whatever, Father. The same as Paul pleaded with the early Christians, so that is going forth again by the Spirit in these last days. Help each of us to apply what we've heard this day with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.